meeting of the Library Advisory Commission to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Sean Campbell.
Here.
Vice Chair Deb Tracy Pro.
Here.
Commissioner Martha Dexter.
Here.
Commissioner Barbara Gorson. Absent. Commissioner Ellen Campos.
Here.
Commissioner Cindy Jackson.
Here.
Commissioner Nancy Gert.
Here. Item 2 is to approve the agenda of June 27, 2016. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Item 3, oral communication. Would any member of the public like to address this board on item not on today's agenda? Move on to item 4, the consent agenda. There's one item to approve the minutes of May 23rd, 2016.
I have a correction to the minutes. Okay. Page 4, 7B, proposed library budget, there was a discussion on the pros and cons of extending hours for the library with branches, as well as it says here supplies budget, but it's actually the library materials budget.
Okay. Anyone else? Is there a motion to approve incorporating that change?
I so moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Item 5, member reports. Do any members have their reports? Seeing none, we move on to item 6, the interim library director.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The main part of my report, except that we're all having a great time welcoming Susan Santa Cruz, and she asked the best questions ever, which you were going to find out very shortly. In terms of the budget, what the board decided to do was to pass the budget, but to fund it for 4 months, and that the reason that made sense is because Measure S hadn't passed yet. We weren't sure what we would have to do about the tariffs to AT&T, but that has been somewhat resolved now as well. But at the time, none of that had been resolved, and Susan wasn't here. So the board elected to fund for the first 4 months, and then come back in September or the first part of October and discuss the budget and fund the rest of the budget for the fiscal year.
Following up on that, I think there were three of us that were at the board meeting mm-hmm. where that was discussed, and there was a report that Marcus did at that meeting that I think would be really useful for all of us to have because it updated what actually gave the what now is the numbers mm-hmm. for the final budget and the 4 month iteration of that. Yeah. And three of us, that was only passed out at the meeting. It wasn't.
So we can be sure that you get an electronic copy of
it. It was really, I think, Sean, it was really very important, I think, for all of us to have it.
And that report has been uploaded to the Library Joint College Board part portion of the website under supporting documents. Okay. But you can upload it to this permission edit CD as well as supporting documents. And we can even talk about
it. Right. And then would it be appropriate to ask Lynn what happened with the, with the because you were at the board meeting, it was early the next week that you were going to.
Yeah, so we.
This is on the
scenic.
Broadband. Actually, was it 12 and a
half? Well, what happened was we did meet the Comcast engineers at all of the sites Monday and Tuesday, and just as I suspected, Comcast had not done what they were supposed to do, which is before they were to respond to the RFP, they should have walked every site and known exactly what it would take to tie in fiber from each building to wherever the tie-in was, and there are various locations depending on which branch you're at. And when we got the RFP back from CNIC, and Janice does this, I was very nervous because they kept saying last mile cost zero on every single branch, and I was like, that can't be. So, of course, there are tons of last mile costs. We don't have to pay them. Well, so basically, they did the walkout. Every single branch is going to require permitting. Every single branch requires pole permits. So how fiber works is it's laced around existing poles, if there's poles in the area, or it goes underground if all of the poles have been taken for the ground. Every single site is going to require pole permits. The poles are owned by either PG&E or AT&T or a combination of the two. And typically, before the RFP is answered and they walk the sites, once they know what the requirements are for poles, they immediately put the pole permits in at that point, before circuits are even ordered. Pole permits take at least 90 days to complete. I'm told by Comcast there is one person in all of Northern California who enters those pole permits. So that was never done. So that put us 90 days from whenever this person entered the pole permits. It just became very close with the tariffs. So what I did was I had this back pocket play to move to a month-to-month CalNet 3 AT&T contract that's increasing the interconnect speeds, but will stay with Cruzeiro as our ISP until such time that we can have something in writing from Comcast that does guarantee that we will not be on the hook for the pole permits and the work that needs to be done. In Scotts Valley, they actually have to trench as well. So, because it goes underground, right. So to get it to Scotts Valley, you have to trench. It's a 20-foot trench. So, what I'm waiting for from Comcast and CNIC is some written assurance from the powers that be that we do not have to be paying those last mile costs of $99,500 to do the pole tie-ins and to get the permits and all that. As per our CNIC agreement and letter of agency, if there are any costs associated, even a dollar, even a penny, with any of the last mile build-outs that would be assigned to us, we have the option to forego our contract with CNIC. That's part of the deal. So at some point, hopefully we'll get a letter from Comcast that says we will indeed pay all of this. I don't want to take word of mouth at this point because I see it's a little lackadaisical that they didn't do this work up front. So once we have that letter, then we can proceed. And the pole permits, though, are being put in as we speak. I did get a phone call last Friday from someone at Comcast to get that everything signed, right premise at each branch. And so things are moving. We will be going to this interim network, which is the AT&T CalNet 3 month-to-month network. It will increase our speeds between the branches to 1 gigabit, which is an improvement over what we have now. It's somewhat expensive. It's certainly no deal breaker like CNIC is. I mean, when you compare what we have, this interim network, and the cost of what CNIC would be, it's a no-brainer. I mean, CNIC is a fraction of the cost. Our internet speed, as I said, would remain at 1 gig with Cruzeiro. That's as fast as it can go. We are hoping that this interim network will be completed by the middle of August. That we will avoid tariffs because we've signed a new contract with AT&T. And that sometime in January of 2017, we'll be able to start the CNIC implementation. It's a pretty big engineering lift for our little team of 6 people in the IT department, but it's a thing we have to do. So we saved $106,000 in tariffs, which is good. It just needs more work for us. So our team we're gearing up, we're trying to hire a couple people, open positions that we have, and hopefully we'll be able to find some more engineers to help us put boots on the ground and get all the work done that we need to do. So regardless, we'll be on this new CalNet 3 by mid-August, hopefully sooner. And then we'll just ride it out and see what Comcast delivers for us. So
we're hoping to switch the scene.
Yeah. The constraint was E-rate Form 471. E-rate is the federal program that gives us major discounts, 62% discount on all of our broadband costs. So we pay out front, and then we get a big check at the end of the year. Form 471, which is the form I have to file, I do all the E-rate for our system, states that we have to list everybody we're going to be using or think we may be using, every service we may use or think we may use for the fiscal year, and I have to have that form in by July 21st. The board was meeting on the 28th, so Janice and the board decided that it was okay if we, and I'll let Janice speak to that, but that was a different process. So Form 471 is being filed. We'll probably have that in the next week or so. If, for any chance, the board decides not to go with CNIC because maybe Comcast decides they don't want to pay $100,000 to do the work, and we get out of our CNIC contract, I do have my AT&T representative also giving me ideas about what a contract for a 10G connection with AT&T would cost. So our department is still committed to 10Gs and to delivering that kind of high-speed broadband to every single branch. And whether or not we do it with CNIC or with AT&T, you know, we're just kind of running both ideas in parallel. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. So, does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Any questions for Janice? Okay, thank you. Item 7, general business. Item A, introduce Susan Nemitz, Library Director, to the Library Advisory Commission. Would this be you introducing Susan?
Yeah, I would be happy to do that. We're having such a good time. Susan came last Monday, and she started right away meeting staff in work groups and meeting the board members and seeing what we have. We've been visiting some of the branches. We'll get to the rest of the branches this week. And she asked the best questions. That is my foremost impression of her right now. And we're just enjoying thinking about the kinds of things she makes us think about. We are so looking forward to working with her. We're so happy that Measure S passed, and Susan has Susan has a ton of experience renovating facilities and building them, so we are in excellent hands. Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Commissioners, this is an audit. We have a separate item, which is the discussion of future steps. I do just really want to welcome you, and I know it's been, how long have you been the interim director?
13 months.
So really excited. I know the recruitment was long, but I want to welcome you to beautiful Santa Cruz County, California.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Just like this every day.
Yeah. And today, no traffic on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is yeah. That.
Oh, yeah. I would have been here at 7 o'clock otherwise. So I don't know if you heard, but I went to the downtown. And I tell you, I made it from the door of the downtown library to here in 12.
That never happens.
That's because 17 is closed.
I know.
This is its own item, so I'd like to ask if any member of the public would like to comment on this item. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Should we go ahead and proceed to item B, which is a discussion of the future steps in development? Do you have some prepared remarks? Or?
I don't. The one thing that the JPA has assigned is that we really need to start a strategic planning process. And I was curious if I could ask you a few questions. I actually come from an environment where my citizens board was my board. And so this is not a model that I'm as familiar with. And I'm curious how you see this model working, where you feel like you can have the greatest impact, and if you have any advice in terms of getting moving forward with strategic planning.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
This is all new for us, too, because we've never had a citizens commission before, and we're sort of still, I think that's why this is on the agenda, that we're still finding our way, what our appropriate role will be in helping you and helping the board.
Four of us were on the Joint Powers Board over the last, I don't know how many years. And we had, I think, a very brief discussion at one of our earlier meetings, very brief, when we were, maybe our first one, when we were sort of saying, what did we think we were going to do here, and what did we want to have happen? And one of the comments, or at least it was my comment, I think, was that I see the Citizens Commission as being able to get into things in more detail than the joint powers will be able to do. So I don't know what that means, but I think we can perhaps things that former formulation of the board, there were some task forces or subcommittees that were set up to study certain things and come back to the board with a recommendation. I see that we could certainly do those kinds of things, whether it be, you know, from a financial standpoint or whatever it is. And I see this commission as being very active and involved in strategic issues, including planning. And just last time we did the strategic plan, Nancy, you may have to help me remember a bit, but we had I was on it, Nancy was on the committee that did it.
And Lee.
And the other, all three of the citizen members on the board were on the strategic planning task force. Library director, I'm not going to remember everybody, a couple of staff members from the library, and a couple of community members. I can't remember who they were, but you know the report still exists, and I'm sure it lists everybody. And we met, you know, over at least a few months to put it together.
Yeah, my memory is that we kind of broke it into sections, and we each kind of researched sections, but we based it on the previous one. So it may be that we want to look at strategic plans in general and sort of see what direction do we want to go in, what are the questions we want to explore, and then because, you know, I've seen a lot of different strategic plans, and I know you have, Susan, because you're in the business, and so they all have sort of a different way they're organized, and maybe that's the first step, is trying to figure out exactly what we want to also make a strategic plan direction.
I like that idea. I think I did look through the prior strategic plan, and there's actually a lot of really strong things in it. And I never believe in starting from scratch, so I think if we could even go through the past plan and say, what remains relevant, and then what areas do we want to maybe think differently about? I suspect in part that the new strategic plan needs to encompass more of the facilities piece as well, because the facility changes really present some very interesting opportunities to make changes to service models and kind of an exciting opportunity. I just wouldn't want to miss that opportunity in our planning process to have some of those conversations. I think would really help guide our facilities. And we also are reviewing the facilities plans, some of which are aging a little bit themselves. So I think then the following step after the strategic plan really is to update those facility conceptual programs as well. So I like the idea of finding some good examples. I like the idea of going through the prior plan. Are there other things you suggested asking? What kind of questions do we want to answer? Do you have a sense of some of them?
Well, I could make a list of what I'd like to do is, I honestly have not looked at our strategic plan for a very long time. And so I would like to take a look at it. And as you said, there are some things that aren't going to be that relevant anymore. And because we're starting, we're really going to change everything in the system in terms of what we're building, projects and so forth. So I think there's a lot to think about. I do have a lot of questions, but I kind of would like to organize them in my head, and maybe at the next meeting, or if we have a subcommittee of this committee. I don't know exactly how people want to proceed, but I also see it as wanting to probably have committees, and I think we did this before, going throughout the communities and sort of having people say, hey, this is what I'm seeing for my branch, or what I'd like to see in library services across the county, whatever.
Like field hearings.
Yeah.
And then there was also a data collection and analysis portion of that. Mm-hmm. The sort of typical looking at CERC data, et cetera, and some comparisons, I think, with other library systems. I know that can get very thorny because no two are really alike, but it starts some discussions, at least, around why would there be a difference in something, and should we be striving to do something different here or not?
I call that benchmarking, and mm-hmm. I find that to be useful. I also think it's a great way to explain to the public what we're trying to do. So I don't want to co-opt your agenda, so part of me is trying to be respectful of that. But how much do you want to drive the agenda, and how much do you want me to drive the agenda? Do you know what I'm asking?
Well, it seems to me there's a couple of things, because there's also the board.
Right.
And again, because we're new, and some of us have been on the board, so we have to be careful about it. We aren't the board anymore, but we want to be able, I think we do need to work with the new board and with you. In fact, we talked last time about timing this meeting in such a way that we're somehow, before, I can't remember what Sean, how we finally came to this, but it was that we're close enough to the other, so that we can provide information to the board as they're getting ready to meet. I like to think that the board could also draw on us, that if an issue comes up and they want more information, and the library is we're a resource that can do some of the research and support that might come with issues. So I think the synergy of the staff and the commission and the board is really important.
Yeah. I also see perhaps this commission having discussions around sort of trends in the library world. So, because we need to go out to our community, of course, and see what they're asking for. That's a given. But they're not even going to know to ask for a number of things that could be made available. And staff certainly knows about those things. And I don't think that the board is going to have time to delve into to that in any kind of detail. So I see that as being a sort of an important component of this commission, and being able to work with staff and then perhaps make some recommendations to the board around new developments or new types of services or models or whatever it is.
So I call that environmental scanning. And I think that this board would, that would be a great role for this board to do environmental scanning, really going through the trends, going through the data. You know, to me, it's the problem identification piece. And I think they don't necessarily, I'm sure they can identify some problems, but I think, and also to build on our strengths. The other thing, just offhand, it appears that you're more likely users of the library, and so to have that user perspective, and to make sure that the community has the opportunity to also put input seems like a great role. I think we can frame this together with the Joint Powers Board so that they can see that the sort of iterative process of strategic planning, and we could probably build up something through the fall where you're feeding information to them, and they're feeding information to you. And if it's okay, I would love to spend the next 6 months of this group's time really working on thinking through the strategic planning process, going through data, responding to it, reacting to it, and making recommendations to the Joint Powers Board.
So I think that would be, I mean, those all sound like great ideas. I did want to bring up that, I'm going to forget the date again, but at the
July
28th at 9 a.m. where?
9-1, it's going to be at the downtown branch meeting room upstairs.
It's going to be a study session with the Joint Powers Board. It was on budget, but also on kind of broad items, right?
Exactly.
Broad spending categories.
And the commission is invited.
So to the extent that, that you can go, and I strongly urge you to go, I'm gonna go. And I think that that can be potentially like a kickoff for this, you know, 6 months of this.
So it was decided that the next meeting of the board would also be the studies.
For right.
I believe so. So
yeah, first studies. They're hoping to have several. That's going to be the first one. And probably at that meeting, we'll figure out what the next one is or what they don't really have a format. We have a list of suggested topics. Mm-hmm. And start with that and kind of see what comes.
So it'll be both the meeting and the
yes.
Things. Okay.
And I would expect that as you're here a little bit longer, you'll start to notice quickly the pain points and promise points of the system, right?
Well, I love that language. Pain points and promise points.
It's flowery, the promise points. and so I think naturally we can work together on having items on the agenda that are, you know, relevant and timely and get us to a place where a year from now we can say we discuss and talk about and move forward on those items.
And so the practices that I would call you prior to doing the agenda, and we could talk through that. And
yeah, we'll discuss it with the chair. Yeah. We open up to the public. Are there members of the public that would like to comment on this item?
I have a quick comment.
Mr. Holloway.
Mr. Holloway, please.
Hi, I'm Chris Holloway from Boulder Creek. When I was a lad, a facility, this is back in the last millennium, there, a facility like this would be open until 9 o'clock on a Monday night. And I guess kids are using internet today to do their papers. They don't need to go into the library physically. But I still kind of feel out of all of these branches, there ought to be one that's open until 9 o'clock at night. And if the community is putting all this money into facilities, we need to keep them open. You can't just put millions and millions of dollars into buildings and then only have them open 30 hours a week or something like that. So this is a chronic structural problem with our library, open hours. And then the second thing is materials. It's just like what you were talking about in the minutes of the prior meeting. Because if you've got all these buildings open, there's got to be something there to go look at. So I heard a comment about how this commission can go into more detail than the library board, but that's not clear to me at all how that is. This commission's meeting once a month. The library board's meeting once a month. I have no idea how you can go into anything more deeply when you don't meet any more often than they do. Also, they have staffs. So all members of the library board have large staffs. Martin Bernal has at least 600 people that work for him. Susan Moriello has more than 2,000 people work for her. So she's got a financial analyst that comes to all the library board meetings. So basically, she's got an underling that can spend full time on library matters if she wants. But none of you have staffs, so I don't know how you're going to keep up. But there is an opportunity for a division of labor between the library board and the library commission, and that still needs to be worked out. So it's really up to you to put a lot of energy into it and maybe take it away from them so that they don't have to do so much. They have to evaluate the library director once a year. They have to ratify the budget. But that doesn't mean that, all it means is they have to have the last word on the budget. All of the details, you know, can be developed by staff, can be developed by this commission. So there's a lot to be worked out here, but I really would encourage you to get busy, because that's the only way you're going to create a, you know, you're going to craft a role for yourselves that's meaningful. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in speaking to trends in library, there's a, I know Martha, I've seen Martha at ALA, one of those. There's a libraries, internet and libraries coming up in October in Monterey.
Oh, it's every year in Monterey.
Yeah, so that's a really good one. If you can go and get an, you can just get an expo pass or look it up online. And it's a really good way to see how libraries are using digital resources and kind of what the future is for libraries along those lines. And it's close by, it's super fun. So I'm just going to recommend that you check that out.
Any other members of the public?
I'm Jeannie O'Grady, I'm a program librarian. I would just like to say that I'm so glad that we have four former JPB members on this commission. They have a wealth of information about the history of the library system. We don't want to go back, but they can, our history will...
We don't want to repeat the bad part.
We certainly don't want to repeat the bad part. But and not only the history, but the experience that they provide for you that you might not get. It's a different history than you'll get from the staff, probably.
Okay.
And thank you all for being on the commission.
Any other members of the public? Bring it back.
I think it might be good to have a, I don't know exactly how, what form, but like a Google Doc, something that could be shared, where we could post a lot of articles, YouTubes, things about other library systems that they're doing that are innovative, that are working, that are helping with ours, that are helping with all the issues we're looking at, so that as we find something, we all have access to the same material. I don't know who would maintain that or who would send it to whom and how it would be posted, but...
I'll figure it out.
Okay.
And sort of to follow on from that, you know, there's... I certainly have a list, and, you know, I see it come in either to my email or Facebook or whatever, of library either journals or maybe even from other libraries that, you know, are always considered best in their class. And it might be good for probably the staff to maybe make up a small list for us of, you know, like library journal, ALA. I'm not even thinking of any of the other ones that... If we want to, you know, if anyone on here wants to sort of get that information, and you don't have to read everything, of course, but that I think is also helpful. It's really helpful to me when I'm in being on the board and on this commission.
Just a quick note, not everything has a digital answer, but that's my job. So there's kind of an answer to that. There's if you own an iPad or smartphone, there's an app called Flipboard. And if you download Flipboard and you do a search on libraries, what it basically does is it scans the web and it conglomerates all of articles that they can find on libraries into one little nice
database.
And so, and you can just flip through and read what articles you like and pass the ones you don't, and it gets it from all over the world, not just what they're doing in the U.S., but what they're doing in the U.K. and parts of Europe, and it's really, really informative and very useful.
Does it have a sharing capability, or that?
Yeah, so you can then take it and share off your Gmail, whatever email account you have, set up on your smartphone.
So if you have a Google group, that would be shared.
You can share it, yes. And that'd be a really great way to do it.
The only concern I have is public access to conversations we're having.
Yeah.
So let me work on that.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Do you feel like we have a good kind of idea of how to start?
I just want to acknowledge the other thing that Nancy said of some subcommittee work. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think we'll have to go to that level of work. I do agree with the gentleman in the audience that some of this is just going to take more time than a committee can. Yeah.
Okay,
great. Well, some of the, on the study sessions that are going on with the board, some of that, I mean, some of it, obviously some of that's financial and personnel and all of that is stuff that would be really important for us to know as well, but is a component of that going to be, you know, sort of resources and library information, or, you know, or is it all going to be just focusing on understanding the library system?
Well, we can certainly add that part because in order to understand even one library system, have to have that basis. So they threw out questions, suggestions at the last meeting, but it doesn't mean it can't be added to.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the board meeting calendar. I believe we're going session by session. So we're doing
fourth Monday.
But the next one will be, so there will be the joint session on July 28th at 9 a.m. And so the next regularly scheduled meeting will be July 25th.
So does it make sense to have that meeting before this big study session, or are we going to have some, you know, I'm just wondering if we have it after it, then we have a lot to talk about, unless somehow between now and then, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless we spent the next meeting, unless we agreed at the next meeting to spend some time on the topic of strategic planning or something, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we need to be talking about subcommittees and.
Yeah, I would love to go through the strategic plan that is.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's just devote the next meeting to the strategic.
Is it online on the website?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
We could also email it to everyone.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Email, if that's possible. Awesome. Mm-hmm.